classic hits, 98.9 WJEZ. I'm Todd Weinbrenner, and it is time for our monthly conversation with Livingston County State's Attorney Seth Uphoff. Seth, how are you?
I'm doing very well. It's a beautiful day out there, Todd, just like you were saying.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful spring day. And we're going to talk about something that goes along with the warm weather. No, it doesn't. But it does go along with U.S. history and something that had a profound effect on U.S. history 50 years ago, as I understand it.
That's correct.
The first appearance of the notion of a person's Miranda rights. So we've got you here to be our legal expert. Who was Miranda? What is this all about?
Well, the Miranda rights are what people commonly hear. It's really common on TV. You hear it in TV and movies. This is when the police officers say you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. That's the real basic version of what they call the Miranda rights. And so you hear that on many movies, many TV shows, you know, Law and Order and things like that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've even heard it on a kid's cartoon where they were doing sort of a play off of the criminal justice system. So it comes up very frequently. It's become very common in sort of the lingo for criminal law and on all these shows. But it all stems from an event, a Supreme Court case that took place 50 years ago this month. I believe it was June 13th, 50 years ago. And it was actually a joint case. So the reason it's called Miranda is that was the gentleman's last name. Ernesto Miranda was a guy who was arrested and charged with kidnapping and rape in Phoenix, Arizona. And the officers took him in. He gave a confession. They went to court. They used that confession, and he was convicted. And he appealed it. But there were other people that were appealing on similar grounds across the country. So there was four defendants that were all lumped into this case, but he got top billing. And so ever since then, his name has been the one that's been attributed to it. So Ernesto Miranda said that his confession should be thrown out, shouldn't have been used against him in court because he didn't understand his rights when he gave his confession. And so the Supreme Court went through this very long explanation of what our rights are, and this all stems from the Fifth Amendment in the Bill of Rights. Fifth Amendment says you have the right to be free from incriminating yourself. So you don't have to give incriminating statements against yourself. You can't be forced or coerced in doing that. And so Mr. Miranda was saying, I didn't understand my rights, so therefore my confession wasn't really knowing and voluntary, and so it should be thrown out. And the court agreed. Ultimately, the court said that there are these certain rights that have to be read, and they didn't give them verbatim, but they're very close in the opinion from the Supreme Court as to what they should be. But they're the basic ones that you hear on TV. And so they determined that unless a person has been read those rights, you can't use their confession in court. So Mr. Miranda thought, hey, bingo, my confession's thrown out. Things are going to go my way. But what people, even if they do know that part of the story, they may not know the rest, which is he went back to Arizona. They tried him again. This time they didn't put the confession in, but he was still convicted. So he still was convicted. He was sentenced to 20 to 30 years and served a sentence for that. So even though he won in the Supreme Court and got his confession tossed out of court, he still ended up being convicted.
Well, we often bring up what people see on TV, and a TV watcher's understanding of the law is not an understanding of the law, I think, is what we've established over our conversations. But a lot of people have the opinion, what you just suggested, that cop doesn't read you your Miranda rights, you're out on a technicality. The judge raps the gavel and says, my goodness, officer, you made this horrible mistake, and this murderer walks free.
It's all over with, right?
Not quite the way it works, you tell me.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Well,
and
good.
So this is something that comes up. I've heard it many, many times as a prosecutor. You overhear defendants saying it. Sometimes they'll say it to a judge when they're in court. He never read me my rights. This case has to be thrown out. And that's not at all true. So what you see on TV is the minute the cops slap the cuffs on a guy, then they're reading him his rights. As they're walking him away, they're usually walking off screen, and they're reading him their rights. For some reason, I always picture Lenny Briscoe on Law & Order as he's hauling him away, reading him his rights. But the cops don't ever have to read you those rights. The only time they have to read you the Miranda warnings is if they're going to conduct a custodial interrogation. So if you're in their custody and they're going to interrogate you, then they have to read you these rights. So at the time they're arresting you out on the street, they don't have to read you your rights unless they're going to start asking you questions then. If they're not going to question you until they get down to the station, they don't have to ask you or tell you about those rights until they start asking you questions at the station. If they don't intend to ever ask you questions, then they don't have to ever read you those rights. And that happens. Commonly, it's lower-level crimes. You know, they catch somebody sort of red-handed doing this or that. They may decide, I don't need to question this guy, or it's not going to, you know, it's going to be a waste of my time to question this guy. I'm just going to arrest him, take him to jail, or I'm going to charge him, and I've got the evidence because I saw him, and there was a witness who saw him, and that's plenty.
Yeah, we found the money in his hand as he ran out of the store,
right.
So what else do we need?
All said and done, right? So they decide they're not going to interrogate him. They're not going to ask him any questions, so they never have to read him these Miranda rights. And so the defendant comes in and he says, ha, they never read me my rights. Well, they don't have to. So people have sort of established in their mind by seeing it on TV, the minute the cuffs go on, the rights have to be read. And if they don't, well, we've got an issue. But in reality, that's not the case. So
people shouldn't have this shroud of false confidence to think, hey, you didn't read me my rights, so I'm going to say whatever I want.
That's right.
That's probably a bad idea.
Yeah, because the rights don't kick in until the officers start interrogating you. So you could be in custody, but if they're not asking you any questions or not doing anything to elicit a response for you, if you just start spontaneously talking, it can still be used against you. So, you know, the police officer arrests you, puts you in the back of the car, you're driving to the station, and the officer's just sitting there listening to the music or listening to the radio, not saying anything to you, and all of a sudden you start saying, well, you know, I'll be honest with you. Let me level with you, Your Honor or Officer. Here's what happened. And you lay it all out there for them. You've confessed, and that confession is not going to get thrown out because of the officer's failure to read you Miranda, because he never tried to interrogate you. So there's these two elements that have to trigger the Miranda warnings. One, you have to be in custody, and two, you have to be interrogated. And the reverse of the situation, so in the police car in the back seat, you're obviously in custody, but the officer didn't ask you any questions, so no Miranda. The other situation is the officers come to your house, you're sitting on your couch, you invite them in, they sit on the recliner and start asking you questions. Well, now they're interrogating you, but they haven't read you Miranda. But you're not in custody. You're in your own house. You can have the officers leave anytime. So because those two prongs aren't met, you're not both in custody and being interrogated, again, Miranda doesn't kick in. So if you're in your house and they start asking you some questions and you could say, you know what, I think you guys ought to leave. But instead, you give a full confession of the crime you committed. It's most likely going to come in, even though they didn't read you those Miranda rights.
Interesting.
Well, and it's just, it's one of those things that comes up, and it seems so clear when you watch it on TV that, oh, man, this is vital. They absolutely have to read you your rights right when they slap the cuffs on, but in reality, they don't ever have to. So,
now, I have seen many episodes of Cops in my largely sedentary life, and that's a little closer to reality. I realize they're still on camera. You know what
sure.
I mean. So it's still a TV show, but you often hear the officers say that. Is that why? Often the officers will just say, let's just talk about what happened, or you're not under arrest. I just want to keep you out of trouble for a minute, you know, and they'll actually handcuff them and move them off to one side or something like that. So that individual, even though they're handcuffed and in the presence of police, is not necessarily in custody.
It becomes very nuanced. There is a whole very lengthy line of cases on when you're in custody and when you're not in custody. It generally comes down to whether or not a reasonable person would feel free to leave. So if you're handcuffed and they're sort of pulling you off to the side of the scene and not allowing you to leave, you're going to probably be considered to be in custody.
Okay.
But the other part to consider is they may be asking you questions or asking you for information that they don't really need or aren't going to really use going forward. So they may not take the time to read you your Miranda rights. Or they may know full well, you know what, I may not be able to use this in court, but it's more important for me right now at the scene to get this information to determine what's going on. So they sort of have to do what they need to do in the moment to make sure they're handling the scene correctly. And not every moment of the investigation are they trying to elicit a confession. So there's a lot of nuance when it comes to something like that, but you know, there can be times where officers just say, you know what, I want to get the information. I'm not worried about using it in court because, you know, I've already got plenty of other evidence or whatever the case may be. It could be that they really have no intention of charging this person with a crime. They're just detaining them for officer safety so that, you know, the scene doesn't get out of control. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different nuances to that part of it, so it can get a little fuzzy, but the general consideration is, are you in custody and is there interrogation?
Seth, it is always terrific talking with you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Seth Uphoff is the Livingston County State's Attorney. I'm Todd Weinberger.